today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, if you were dreaming of a summer vacation in Canada, your dream just might come true. Amtrak is getting some new trains, and the Eiffel Tower has reopened. Details next in the travel news.
Non-smokers have become targets of shady hotels and car rental companies looking to make a few bucks. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we'll give you some tips to help you avoid those bogus charges and what to do if you're a victim.
At 3:35, we follow up on a couple of stories discussed on previous programs. Remember the Maui mayor who wanted the airlines to offer fewer seats to his island? And we know being a flight attendant slash mass police can be a difficult job, but did one flight attendant get a little carried away?
The project is called Wisdom Travels. It's a very different look at how members of the North Natomas community get around. A look at travel from a different angle at 3:50.
The dog days of summer are upon us. At least it's not 110 outside today. And hey, lucky you, you've got the radio turned to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want on an ambulance man.
I come from a la 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 la.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Your hosts, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us today. It's a beautiful Sunday here in lovely Sacramento. Mark, how's everything there at Sports Leisure Vacations in your neck of the woods?
Things are good. Things are good. Like I said in the opening there, we're kind of into the dog days here, so everybody's kind of walking around town with their tongue hanging out. You know, at this time last year, they were walking around that way for a different reason. But now we're kind of back into a little bit of normal, hot as heck Sacramento summer, and people are just kind of start about middle of July. It usually starts to wear people down just a little bit.
It does, and you know, I mean, I love the summers. I love my pool. I love all of that. But I also love when it's all over with and we slide into fall and things start to cool. You know, you worry a lot about your air conditioner in your car or your home. But in Sacramento, it's kind of short lived. So, you know, sometimes you just have to roll those windows down and put up with it. Anyway, everything copacetic with Sports Leisure and their travels and all the new CDC guidelines?
Well, it's things, you know, change kind of on a daily basis, and now we've got some flare-ups in some areas, which we kind of anticipated. And more of those areas have to do, unfortunately, with people who have chosen not to get vaccinated, which is kind of, you know, it's tough for travelers if those people happen to be in destinations where people want to go. But still, the vaccines are showing that, you know, if you've been vaccinated, even if you get this horrible thing, that your chances of going to the hospital are practically non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have a case of the flu, or worse yet, you might not know you have it. And then can you go around and give it to other people? So I don't know. It's a puzzle to me as someone who likes to travel. And it was pretty simple. If you want to travel, then you go and you get poked. That's the way it works. And I have every faith in, you know, I was around when we all took sugar cubes as kids for polio.
Mm-hmm.
So that all worked out pretty well. Kids stopped getting polio and life went on pretty good. And it wasn't perfect, but by and large, it was pretty good. We've got something here that allows us to get on with our lives. It's hard for me. I'm sure there are lots of different reasons. I've heard some of them, but it just, gosh, you know, if you want to travel, then you got to get that shot. And if you're one of those people who likes to travel and you're still thinking about it, then this might go on for a while. So you might just go and get the shot and then come and join us. So, and yeah, rules change a little bit from time to time. Depending on whether we've got a bus full of fully vaccinated people, which is more often than not so far, because before, as I said to you before the show started, travelers are not stupid. This isn't rocket science. You go and get the vaccination, and then you can travel. And you can travel with some level of confidence that you're safe along the way. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to be at least intelligent. I mean, you know, don't go to places where people are not being smart. Or if you do, why then wear a mask and be intelligent. If you're going to travel, we've said people, I don't want this rant to go on forever, but we've said people have to use that F word. They have to be flexible if they're going to travel right now. I'm going to suggest you also, you have to have a little bit of brains. You can't just go out there and wander around. You got to have a little brains, or at least be traveling with somebody who does. All right, I'm done.
All right. Amen to that. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with it, here's Mark.
Sorry, didn't know didn't know all that rant was built up inside there, just waiting for Tom to let it out.
Well, thanks for listening,
Doctor. Send me a bill. In the travel news, let's see here. Canada. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now. It looks like that maybe mid-August, reopening for vaccinated Americans. This is coming from Prime Minister Trudeau's office. It's come from a couple of different news sources, so that gives me some hope. Canada has also announced that they're going to end the cruise ship ban in November. So that kind of fits with a timeline here that says that if you were hoping to go to Canada, maybe for a fall foliage vacation, maybe up in Quebec, or to go visit Niagara Falls, something like that, that there's a real possibility that could happen. So we'll just, the thing to do is just keep your eyes and ears open, and we'll keep you posted. Yes, sir.
Have you put any Canada trips on the sports leisure vacations itinerary as of yet?
Oh, thank you for asking. We have three still. We've already lost a couple this summer, but we have three, two to Niagara Falls and one to Quebec province from mid-September to early October. And they're all sold out at a lower number, but sold out, 27, 28 people. So we're really hoping that they go. The thing it's important to know, most of the people who are signed up on these tours with us were signed up to go last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get to go again. Why, then they'll have to hold on to their dreams for another year. But increasingly, it looks like at some point, at some point the Canadian border is going to open. But increasingly, it looks like sooner rather than later. The question just is how much sooner. And of course, people have to buy airline tickets. And if you've got, you know, hotel reservations or things like that, sometimes if you're at a resort or something, you've got to give some real cancellation notice. So they're running out of time. So let's hope that their vaccination situation, which has gotten markedly better in the last few weeks. They're up around 60% of the country having one shot now. So if that continues to get better, then I think that they will be more confident in letting Americans in who have been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the original rant at the start of the program.
Right.
Amtrak is investing $7 billion of your money in a new fleet of modern trains. Includes the purchase of equipment, long-term parts supply and service agreement. Amtrak says some of these things will save them a lot of money.
Well,
and guess what? Since it's mostly our money,
right?
I think that's probably not a bad idea. Good luck to Amtrak. These new trains, which will be their first hybrid battery operations in the United States, that Amtrak says will transform the way Americans travel. So we'll just see. And listen. Some of them are going to be built around here in Sacramento, California.
All right. So we're talking about all electric here for the Amtrak trains.
Well, or at least hybrid, so that it can be some electric. Yeah,
well, that's
a good idea.
Great news, yeah.
Carnival Cruise Lines is requiring unvaccinated passengers to have travel insurance. So if you're going to travel with Carnival and you refuse to get vaccinated, you're just going to get tested before you get on a cruise. Then Carnival wants to know if they have to put your butt off in the middle of nowhere because you got sick, that you have a way to get home and they won't be the on the wrong end of a bunch of social media posts. So Carnival is saying if you want to travel with them, there are some ways you can do that, but you have to be tested and you have to have travel insurance. Pittsburgh has become the first airport to be powered on its own. It's using a microgrid fueled by natural gas and solar energy, with a lot of recycled energy. Pretty cool. This story, I won't go into it in great detail here, but first airport, 10,000 solar panels they are utilizing. Our airport has some solar panels out there, too.
Right, yeah.
Hasn't helped the gas price at the ARCO service station yet.
I knew you'd have to give them a poke.
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. No, I'm not letting go of that until that damn price comes down. The public is getting skewered out there, and it's wrong. Eiffel Tower is reopened to the public with coronavirus-related restrictions. So don't everybody go piling in all at once. But visitors over the age of 18 who can show proof of a COVID-19 vaccination are going to be allowed into the Eiffel Tower on limited basis. Limited means that only about 12,500 people a day will be allowed into the Eiffel Tower instead of the pre-pandemic 25,000. Speaking of things that are reopening, Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., many of the museums are reopening. They have also announced that tickets will no longer be required for museum entry as of July the 20th, with the exception of the Museum of African American History and the National Zoo. So if you are going to Washington, we talk about doing your homework. If you're going to Washington, D.C., do your homework so you know which museums are open, which have limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And the like. American Airlines has announced the new science-based emission target for the airlines. This is significant because American was the last airline not to have any sort of a plan for reducing emissions. So it shows that they have gotten a bit on board. That's all good news. And that, sir, is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. All that we talk about, links to our special guests and more, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Hey, ever get busted for smoking in your hotel room when you didn't smoke in your hotel room? Or that rental car? Oh, man, they're after us non-smokers. It's bad enough you smokers getting busted, but even us non-smokers are having issues. We're going to give you some tips on how to avoid these bogus charges. That's coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a...
You found us. We're still here. Others have claimed it would never last, but we're still on the air. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Actually talking about travel a year later. A year ago at this time, we were giving people advice on how to get their money back on trips that weren't going to go.
Yes, now, or how to use the GPS on your phone to create different routes to the grocery store.
All right. It's time to shift gears a little bit here. Mark, we've talked about this before, but it's back. And
yeah, it is.
Why are we talking about it again?
Well, because it seems to run in streaks here. A lot of this is, unfortunately, comes from people on the supply side of tourism who have just decided that this is a financial resource for them, catching people who smoke in cars and hotel rooms. I also will tell you that what it seems to point to is that people who do smoke are still smoking in hotels and car and rental cars, because if they weren't, there wouldn't be as much of this around. That's just my guess. And that's not to condemn those folks, because they've got a whole passel of restrictions and all of that kind of stuff in front of them anyway, but it may not be making this situation better. It may just be a bad stretch of this. Chris Elliott, our buddy, had an article on this. The Washington Post had a thing about car rental apocalypse, and we've posted that to our site, and it's got some different stories of folks going to rent a car and what it has cost them, which is kind of a separate story from the smoking thing. But nonetheless, trouble in the car rental world. Folks who don't smoke are finding out that they leave a hotel or they turn a rental car in, and a week later, they look on their credit card bill comes and they've got a $200 or $300 charge. And they investigated and find out that, well, the hotel is telling them, well, we found evidence of smoking in your room, so we had to charge you because we had to take the room out of service for a day, and we had to specially clean it and everything. And so, you know, that's what it costs you. So rental car people, same thing. And you're saying, well, but wait a minute. I don't smoke. You do the brain scan for a minute. Okay, let's see. I was in Reno, Nevada that night. No one came to my room. There was nothing unusual. No, I mean, there's no way that you could have found anything in my room that had to do with smoking or in my car. But in some cases, this is what Chris says. He says half the people, at least, who come to us with these smoking situations, they're guilty. And they're trying to get the charge reversed, even though they're guilty. So that tells me that there's some of this going on. But he also feels that it's not uncommon for someone who is guiltless to get caught in this. And what happens is, in some cases, you do something that you think is very innocent, but it isn't very innocent. Like a friend comes over who smokes, and he doesn't smoke in the room or anything. He just takes out his empty cigarette pack and notices it's empty, and he wads it up and throws it in the waste can. So in the morning, by the time the maid comes in, the smell of tobacco is present in the room. And, well, there's an empty, so let's write this guy up. I mean, if depending on how the staff and how the hotel is handling it, there's, you know, you didn't smoke in the room, but you emptied an ashtray. Or you emptied it in the sink. Or heaven forbid you smoked a different kind of tobacco that doesn't come in a package of 20. And you left some remnants of that around, and the hotel is saying, yes, you had a question there, sir.
Yeah, well, I was going to point out, you know, as a former smoker and all, you know, I mean, it's hard sometimes when people are on vacation, and it's all part of their lifestyle and so forth, and they're looking for, you know, a place to go, and there isn't any, so they open the window and try to fake somebody else by blowing the smoke out the window or whatever it is, mm-hmm. or they invite somebody into the room who has been smoking. And, you know, as being a smoker and now a non-smoker for many years, people that smoke, they're unaware of the fact that they carry that smell with them everywhere they go. So they come visit your room, they could leave it behind. I can just give you this advice in regards to hotels that are connected to casinos. They're always smoky. Go ahead. I dare you. Ask for a no-smoking room in a hotel that has a casino. I don't even care if it's 15 floors down. You go into the non-smoking room, you're going to smell smoke. You're going to be telling them. You're going to be telling them before you hardly check in, I can't stay in this room. It's been smoked in. And they say, well, no, this is the non-smoking room.
You've hit something important here.
Yes.
Mr. Radio Announcer, you really have hit something important here. If you check into a hotel and you are in a non-smoking room, which is very likely because about 95% of all hotel rooms now are non-smoking. If you're checked into a room and it's non-smoking and you can smell smoke when you check in, then you need to tell the front desk, pick up the phone, go back down to the front desk, whatever it is, and make them aware of the fact, make sure that it's noted that this smell was there. Same thing with a rental car. If you smell cigarette smoke when you pick up your rental, don't accept the car.
Right.
Just don't. And if you're in one of those situations now where, you know, well, it's like take this car or walk, then make absolutely certain that something has been put in the record. If you have to stand there and they have to print you a copy of what they've just done,
right,
so that when you come back, if you smell cigarette smoke later, sometimes rental cars will clean a car with a really strong cleaners, and it will, that smell will overwhelm the car for a while, but then that smoking smell will come back. If you sense that has happened, or you get into the trunk of the car and there's some dirty clothes, and as you are saying, it's from somebody who smoked, so it's got that smell, then you should call the rental company and tell them what has happened and get that put in the record. When you take the car back, get the person. I now don't leave a car without a receipt. I want a paper receipt. I don't want this email stuff, because I'll get the email receipt when I'm already in the terminal, and when the bill's not right, I've got no I can't come back.
Right. So that,
talk about it.
So that drop and go program that these rental cars offer you, you know, easy for picking up, also easy for dropping off. But if you want a receipt and you want to make sure that the price is right, you're going to have to allow a few extra minutes to wait and get your receipt. You know,
what you want is the person who is signing off, you know, they get into the car and turn the engine in order to check the gas, the fuel level and the mileage and stuff. So they're physically in the car. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason why. Listen, after having seen this, I'm going to add it to my repertoire. The person gets out of the car. I say, no smoke smell in the car, right? I want them to physically agree and confirm with me, and I want to be able to look at and have that say John S. on his badge.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
So that we already have a record, a timed record of when I turned the car in and who I turned it in to, because the car rental company has that. So now we can say that, you know, John agreed that there were no smells or there was no damage to the vehicle or nothing that could come back and bite me later. You think, well, you know, why should I bother with that? But I'm just telling you, it's really hard to get these things undone once they've been done to you. The other thing is, keep an eye on your credit card. Those of us who travel, I think most people do this, but just be careful, because it's not uncommon for a charge to show up a week or 2 weeks later. And like I said, not all of these are being done when a person really hasn't smoked in the room. It really is hard to get it undone. The hotel or the car rental company is going to say, well, we had evidence. And you're going to say, well, what was that evidence? And then they're going to hem and haw. And do you know that the car rental agreement that you sign, at least with Hertz, allows them to charge you if an employee decides that they smell smoke? That can be enough basically to convict you of that charge. And now you have to convince them, and you're not there anymore, long distance, that you didn't do that. So it's a situation that's kind of stacked against the consumer. So be careful. If you're one of these folks who rents cars on a regular basis, then you're somebody who's going to be trouble. If you're in a hotel room, same thing. Beware of if you're not careless. And like I said, you don't let your friend drop that cigarette package in the hotel room. It might save you a couple $100.
Well, there you go. Sage advice coming from the travel guys. Well, all right, we're going to take a short break, check out what's going on in the world and the news. And when we return, it's time for some odds and ends right here on the Travel. Here we go. It's the back half of another Travel and Entertainment Guys radio program brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. And it's time to do a little odds and ends.
My old buddy Bill Conlon, who hasn't been with us for a long time, but who was sports editor of both the Sacramento Union and at one time the Sacramento Bee, different times. Bill used to, every once in a while, he would do a column where he had, you know, these leftover things that he needed to update people on or tell them about. And they didn't all fit into one category or everything. So we just lump them all together and we just say odds and ends, mostly ends. Okay. And I had no idea what that ever meant. Never asked Bill, but today, in honor of Bill Conlon, odds and ends, mostly ends.
All righty, let's get at it.
All right, let's see here. We talked a lot about the cruise season in Alaska and the tourism season in Alaska going to hell in a handbasket because the cruise ships couldn't stop in Canada, and therefore they wouldn't be able to get up there, and they weren't cruising anyway, and only smaller ships. It was going to be a catastrophe for the folks in the Alaska coastal towns who had lost their season last year and were going to lose it again this year. Not so much. Guess what?
What?
The people who couldn't get on a cruise ship, they got on an airplane. Either that or they swam up there, but I'm guessing they probably got on an airplane or a dog sled and went on up to Alaska. Alaska is having, in many destinations, a better season now than they had in 2019, which is the last time the cruise ships were around. So many of the vendors and stuff in Anchorage, some others in Juneau, this doesn't mean everybody in every little town is doing well, but it means that at least some people have salvaged a tourism season. Remember that Hawaii has changed their arrival situation now. It's a little easier to get into the islands and a little easier to go from island to island once you get there. We won't go into detail because it'll probably change between now and the time you want to go. But make sure that you do your homework if you're going to Hawaii, and so that you know what you're required to do. Basically, if you get a vaccination, then you're going to be in pretty good shape. It's going to be pretty easy. Hilton Hotels, we told you last week, has ended daily housekeeping. We also told you that depending on what happened from their competitors over the next couple of weeks, might give us a better picture of how this is going to look as we go down the road. Interestingly enough, we are a week later and no major competitor has announced that they are matching Hilton's housekeeping cutback.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a or if it just took them a week to talk about it, you know, in the C-suite. And now we'll be getting an update next week. But the longer this goes, the more nervous it has to make the people at Hilton. Because right. I'm sure they're looking for cover from Marriott or Intercontinental Holiday Inn people or something like that. They're looking for some major chain to come out and say, yeah, we're going to do this too. Because if they don't, then they're going to kind of be a little bit out on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to have a guest who's going to talk a little bit about this, and I thought we would also take some time and open up the phone lines and ask our listeners to call in, because some people are thrilled with the idea that the housekeeper isn't coming into their room. Aren't you one of those people, do I recall?
I am. I would just as soon spread my own bed up. I like to get fresh towels. I'll go with that. But other than that, you know, I know the feeling, though, and I know you love it, is going out and doing whatever it is that you're going to do and coming back, and everything is just pristine in your room and the bed's all made up.
I don't have to have clean sheets every day because I don't clean. Frankly, this will come as a surprise to everyone, I'm sure, but I don't put clean sheets on my bed every day at home. So, but having the towel hung up and the bed made and the trash taken out and stuff like that, to me, that's part of the allure. I spend a lot of nights in hotels.
Right.
That's part of the staying in the hotel. When I come back and nothing's been done because the housekeeper hasn't made it there yet, I immediately go to the door and look down the hall to make sure she's still coming.
And it's true. There is a certain, you know, part of the pleasure thing of doing all of that, you know, and the only one I'm concerned about is I just want to make sure that when I come to that room for the first time, that the sheets were changed. And that they are clean, and that they weren't, you know, left over from the previous guest. That's
my slightly germaphobic friend, Tom.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not there to see that happen. And so you just got to go on faith.
Well, yes. And one, before we move on to the next subject, one other thing I want to say here. A few years ago, a guy in Las Vegas locked himself in a hotel room for a number of days, had an arsenal there, and gunned down a whole lot of people in the street.
Oh, yeah.
And the hotels right after that, if you remember, they said, well, you know, from now on, we're coming in the room every 2 or 3 days, whether you want us in there or not. We don't care if it says do not disturb, you got the deadbolt on, whatever. We're coming in your room every 2 or 3 days. And you know what I thought? That's a good idea.
I agree.
That's a good idea. So now, apparently, nobody's saying anything about, you know, shooters and deadbolts and going in the room occasionally, because now we're talking about saving the hotels a truckload of money. So now money apparently preempts safety. We'll talk some more about this next week and maybe get some opinions from some of our listeners. Did you hear about the folks who left us Las Vegas on Allegiant Airlines? This is just last week. It's an hour flight from Las Vegas to Stockton. 17 hours before the people got home. Left Monday night at 9:30 and they got home Tuesday at 2:00 in the afternoon. Now, here's the deal. So they don't have a lot of traffic in Stockton. You know, I mean, there's one United flight, I believe, to Los Angeles today. I don't know what else there is, but there's not a lot of scheduled service out of Stockton. So the pilot comes on the plane, tells the people, he says, look, you know, the control tower in Stockton is closed. I've called there and nobody answers. So I have to have a weather report before I can land in Stockton. So I can't go to Stockton. You know, we have to go back to Las Vegas. Well, apparently they couldn't go back to Las Vegas. They're running out of fuel. So they had to go to Los Angeles. So then they offloaded everybody and stuck them in this room, and there wasn't a restroom or anything. So it turned into quite a little ordeal for people. And I will just say to you, why would you fly Allegiant Airlines? That would be my first thing I would say to you. Realizing there's limited service out of Stockton, I would still say, why did you fly Allegiant Airlines? But anyway, 175 passengers, they were given $250 ticket vouchers, but no help in finding hotel rooms. They were just basically, hey, you know, find a room or, you know, sleep overnight here in the airport and we'll take you home in the morning. So just one of the many reasons why flying Allegiant or Spirit or something like that is kind of like taking your destiny into your hands.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the question I have is, did they spend a lot of time on the tarmac in that 17-hour delay? How much of it was spent in the planes? How much of it was spent in the, you know, in an airport?
Well, I'm thinking they got dropped off at LAX, so I'm thinking it went something like this. They took off. They got up in the air. The pilot can't get any response from the control tower. So he's having his people on the ground try to get a hold of somebody in the control tower. They're now, you know, 2/3 of the way to Stockton. It's time to start, you know, going down in altitude, and they still can't get a hold of anybody, so they can't land in Stockton. Now, where are they going to go? Now they're somewhere over probably Mono Lake or something like that. And it's like, well, where are we going to go? Because we probably don't have enough fuel in this plane to go a long ways. because it was an hour-long flight they were expecting, and there's lots of airports to land at. So I'm guessing that they got to LAX and were able to, obviously, they said they had to get, passengers said they had to find their own hotel room, so it wasn't morning yet. But anyway, yeah, it's just a real adventure. Hey, we told folks a few weeks ago, if you hadn't been on the road, you know, to go through your road bag, you know, your briefcase or that valise you carry with you on the road and make sure that, you know, some of your toiletry supplies hadn't turned to dust or expired or mm-hmm. things like that. So mm-hmm. just a reminder, as folks, more folks are getting back into the business travel, go and open that bag and make sure that all the things that are in there are things that you can still use. Because otherwise you're liable to be like me and get out on the road and find out that the antiperspirant has become basically dust at this point, and getting it, being able to use it is going to be a little difficult. We talked about last week the story about the mayor of Maui mm-hmm. telling the airlines, please, there's too many people here.
Yeah, you'd cut back on the number of folks showing up here, would you?
Yeah, please don't bring so many people to Maui. And the airlines kind of looked at him like he'd lost his mind. They said, you know, we're in the airline business and we haven't been able to take people places. And a lot of people want to go to Hawaii. We're getting a good price for it. So we're going to keep bringing them. So what they have decided to do is they're going to start collecting a 3% hotel and short term rental tax from tourists through a new law in the county of Maui. And this will likely lead to improvements in roads, infrastructure, water treatment plants, building more affordable housing benefits, both locals and visitors. First of all, people who live in Hawaii will tell you that very little gets done there on motivation. So so saying you're going to do all this stuff is cool. Whether it gets done is another thing. I will also tell you it's not going to change the number of people who are coming to your island. A 3% hotel tax, all they're going to do is complain about the tax and talk about how you're gouging tourists, and they're not going to not come to your island. So if you're looking to raise money, then you've probably done that. If you're looking at what happened was these people in Hawaii got used to the islands without tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of them have decided that now that the tourists have come back in huge numbers, that they're not so crazy about having tourists there. All right, a couple more odds and ends here.
Okay.
Before we wrap up. Seattle woman says a flight attendant humiliated her over a dirty diaper and told her that she was on the no-fly list.
What?
This lady, she was on a flight to Seattle. She went into the restroom because her daughter had done her thing, and so she went in there and changed her diaper, and of course she left the diaper she put it in a bag and left it in the restroom and disposed of it there. And a flight attendant apparently followed her back up the aisle and said, you know, did you put this in the thing? And she said, yeah, where else would you put it? He said, well, you can't put it in there, and berated her. And so the lady put some of it on the speakerphone. And this story goes on and on. It gets even more interesting as it goes. Apparently, she was contacted after she was told that she'd left a biohazard on the plane and stuff like this. This is United Airlines. Nobody's offered her an apology or anything like that. So she's decided to sue the airlines over a dirty diaper. So that was my thought, that maybe, you know, airlines, that maybe flight attendants, a lot of them are being mass policed and they're being beat to heck by the passengers in lots of ways besides physically. But let's not get too carried away here. Nobody died in Major God.
There you go. Well, the question is, was there a sign in the laboratory that says, do not dispose of dirty diapers in this particular receptacle?
What an excellent co-host comment.
I can only think that might be a rule, but we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, you might, if you had such a sign or a little notice like that, then the flight attendant would have been completely right.
Absolutely.
To go back and say, but I'm also going to say, what do you want the lady to do? Take this back to her seat with her? I mean, you know, it's just, some things were not meant to happen at 35,000 feet. And small children, unfortunately, there's no way to tell them that.
Very true.
There you have it. That's our odds and our ends for today. And next, we're going to go and look at kind of a unique kind of travel.
Wisdom Travels. Talk about members of the North Natomas community and how they get around. It's all coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Time to do a little travel around town and talk about something that's going on right here in our Northern California region that I think a lot of folks may be interested in and may have, many of you may already be participating in. Our special guest is Brandi Tuzon-Boyd.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Brandi, tell us about you're involved in this project, which is called Wisdom Travels. Now, I found this kind of interesting. Stories of movement told by elders of North Natomas. Let me just tell our audience here, give them a little bit of a description, because this is really something kind of unique and different. And I thought it's related to travel, and I thought folks would find it interesting. Wisdom Travels features 9 personal narratives about active transportation told by North Natomas elders aged 50-plus. Residents were photographed and interviewed at their homes, on local trails, and at neighborhood parks. Some participants provided additional family photos for use in this public and online installation project. And I will tell our listeners that we will have a link to Wisdom Travels at TravelGuysRadio.com. So if you want to go there now or after we're done with the interview or after the program, you can find out a little bit more information about this. Tell us a little bit, Brandi. How did this come about? It feels a little bit abstract, so try to help our folks understand it if you can.
Okay, so a little bit of background to start. North Natomas is a community in northern Sacramento within the city limits. And here in North Natomas, we have an organization called North Natomas Jive. It is funded by fees, assessments, and grants, and really promotes active transportation in our community through walking and biking and alternative transportation programs. And so this project, Wisdom Travels, was a collaboration between the City of Sacramento's Arts and Culture Artists in Residency Program and North Natomas Jive. And the idea was to share and bring to life how active transportation, that means not just getting in your car and driving somewhere, but walking, biking, or taking the bus, enriches our lives. And so the photographer, as you mentioned, met with several of us, including myself, and we shared our stories. And then she captured through photography aspects of those stories to share with the public.
So how will the public be able to see or experience this project?
So currently images are available on the Jive website, which I believe you're going to link to. They have also been added to banners that have been hung throughout the North Natomas community. And an installation is currently underway at the North Natomas Library, where they will be displayed for those who want to come and view them.
I see on the website it talks about, the Wisdom Travels pole banners displayed in North Park Drive and Natomas Central Drive in North Natomas. Are they up all year round, or does this happen just once a year?
So the plan is to keep them, those installations, up for at least a year. And the exhibit at the library possibly will be traveling. It may, just depending on community demand and interest.
Brandi, can you share with us a little bit of you know, I've looked at the website and stuff, so I've seen a few pictures. And as we mentioned, we'll give you the link to that. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and see the link. Can you tell us a little bit about one of the stories, perhaps?
Well, I can share my story. So my story was about when my family moved from the mainland to the Big Island of Hawaii. That move required us to get rid of our car. And so the only way that we were able to get about the island when we lived there was by public transportation or rides from friends. And prior to moving, I was taking gymnastics classes. And I wanted to continue that when we moved to Hawaii. And the only way I could get there was to learn how to navigate the public transportation system at the time, which was taking a bus from my elementary school to downtown Hilo and then walking the rest of the way. And that was an experience that I carried in my life. Even when we moved back to the mainland, we didn't have a car for several years. And then when I went away to college, I moved to a very large metropolitan area and felt very comfortable navigating public transportation because I had that experience. And so that was my story. Just, public transportation made it possible for me to continue something that I really enjoyed doing as a kid, but it also helped prepare me for independence as an adult. I know you guys talk about travel, and you're probably familiar with those shared rideables being very popular in other parts of the world, just to help, you know, residents and tourists alike to navigate spaces that, you know, might be difficult without having your own car or renting a car, right?
We're talking about Wisdom Travels, which is a project that's been done in North Natomas, involves 9 Natomas residents, 9 elders, we're referring to in Natomas, in this case, aged 50 plus. And it sounds like a story of how transportation has impacted their lives. And as you have said here, Brandy, it's not necessarily only about getting on an airplane and flying around the world or taking a cruise ship to sea for 3 months or something like that. It's how, in your case, a relocation caused you to be in a little bit different situation and have to look at how you got around and how you got places and did things you wanted to do a little bit differently. It really is kind of the root of how people get around and how people travel. We don't think about it necessarily every day, but there are lots of people who travel, Tom, who go to cities and depend strictly on public transportation and the
right.
like mm-hmm. to get around for several reasons. One is because they find it to be cheaper. And you could argue about whether it's cheap, whether the cheaper and the efficiency balance out, but it's also an opportunity to see more people and meet more people in their natural local surroundings. So sure. I can understand the appeal of that.
Mm-hmm.
These stories really combine walking in the community, biking in the community, and use of public transportation as well.
I think it is really cool. Brandy, what is the website that folks can go to?
The website folks can go to is jibe.org, so jibe.org, and just click on the Wisdom Travel photo.
That's simple enough. We will put a link to that also at travelguysradio.com, and I think this is just a really neat idea and a way to, you talk about when you travel wanting to meet local people. Well, here's an opportunity. You don't even have to travel to be able to meet 9 local people and find out how travel has impacted their lives.
Brandy, thanks so much for taking some time out. Any final words?
I just really hope that this project not only inspires people to share stories with their family members about how transportation maybe impacted their lives, but maybe has folks considering, you know, alternatives to hopping in the car and getting to know their community a little bit better.
Well, indeed, travel is about telling your story, and it's about the journey, and what you guys have done here is taken a piece of the journey that perhaps people sometimes overlook and given people an opportunity to tell their story, which is always fascinating. I recommend you go to the website and spend a little time there and learn about 9 people who live in your community. Brandy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was a fascinating interview. It makes me want to get the bike out and hit the old bike trail. Well, it's about the end of another Travel Guys radio program. We got one coming up next week, though, 3 o'clock. What are we going to do next week, Mark?
We're going to talk about the hotel's ending housekeeping, and we're going to ask for your opinion. What do you think about that whole thing? Are you like, Tom, you're delirious that they're not coming in your room, or you're like, Mark, you're really disappointed to come home and see the bed I made at the end of the day?
All right. Sounds good. You stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time here on The Travel Guys.
Dance like nobody's watching. Thanks for listening.